Welcome to Riverside Today. I'm your host, Kit Sammy. Today's show starts right here at the newly renovated Hunter Hobby Park. Then we go to downtown to a new office location, the Center of Arts and Philanthropy. Next, Greg will show us the capabilities of the GTV Live Event Van. Later, Bridget spends time with the Police Department's Horse Patrol Unit. Finally, Public Utilities shows us their newly designed Green Riverside website. So stay tuned, you're watching Riverside Today.
It's all aboard once more at the Hunter Hobby Park in Riverside. After more than 15 months of renovation, the park is open once again for softball, soccer, or just for a stroll. And if you're a train enthusiast, you've come to the right track.
This park has put together a number of kind of ideas. It looks beautiful. It's working for celebrating the railroad experience.
There's two basketball courts that they didn't have here before, two ball fields that are lit, and the lit fields will provide an extended opportunity for use.
Now it has a really nice paved parking lot. We have two really good adult-sized baseball fields. We have a full-size soccer or rugby field and a much nicer grass area in the remainder of the park. We have better walking paths. It is a far better park for families.
We have a nice station that was constructed for the live steamers. That's been kind of one of the nice things or nice amenities that this park has offered for generations and generations. So. Now there'll actually be a formalized station as well as picnic areas, so you know families can come out and have birthday parties and just enjoy the park.
The Live Steamers Club is a Riverside organization made up of local enthusiasts with a passion for steam trains. This organization has been making memories for children and adults since 1965, when the city took over the park. The 36-acre park features over 10,000 feet of miniature railroad track.
Our park originated with a gentleman named Joe Hunter, who was an industrialist, and he was an avid live steamer. He loved the old trains with the steam engines. And so out here in what was then agricultural land, he built a track behind his house, which was also right here in the park.
Setting aside 40 acres that surrounded his industrial complex, Mr. Hunter had a 4,300-foot railroad built at the corner of Iowa and Columbia Avenues. Approximately 18,000 to 20,000 passengers ride the trains each year, and they all love it.
I missed them because I remember when I was a little girl riding the train, my children all ran the train, and now my grandkids can enjoy the trains as well.
He loves the train, and that's what brought us here to get the first trip on the train.
They did an awesome job because it helps like the kids to play more and have more fun here.
Riverside Live Steamers, who started managing and operating the tracks back in the mid-60s and still operate them today, I mean, integrating that history with you know the needs that the community has now with the ball fields and the basketball courts, that's a tricky thing to sometimes pull off. Now it's just a really, truly wonderful amenity for not only the residents of the area, but also the employees from the businesses that are just up the streets.
The Hunter Hobby Park project is part of the Riverside Renaissance, the $1.5 billion public investment in the city's quality of life services and infrastructure, a program that has made Riverside one of the leading cities in the Inland Empire.
The heart of the park is really the trains, and the it was the reason the park was originally created. And when we did the complete renovation, really we kept the train tracks where they were and designed around them. And the wrought iron, you'll see little train engine details. You'll see the train crossing bars. So a lot of little train details. And in the playground, of course, you'll look at the playground. You'll see a replica of a train engine that the kids could play on, and then a little station that's there.
Looking around the park now and seeing the train theme throughout the park, it's exciting for little boys and for little girls who love to play with trains.
I actually think it's a very nice park. Not too big, not too small. It looks very nice.
The newly opened Hunter Hobby Park is preserving the train's history and giving a rejuvenated park back to a deserving portion of the city. All aboard for a ride on one of the most unique railroads in the country.
The city has a new location to house its many arts and culture organizations. Let's take a look.
Riverside has always been a center of different efforts catering to a wide range of culture and humanitarian causes. And with them, a host of offices coordinating the arts and community sprang up all over the city. Now, the city and these offices have worked together to consolidate those efforts into one location in downtown Riverside. It's called the Center of Arts and Philanthropy. And there's one word that you'll hear if you ask why.
Synergy.
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 The Community Foundation serves all kind of causes in the two-county region, but we have an arts and culture initiative that developed the cultural plan for the city of Riverside and is working specifically on local projects here with the arts organizations. So we regularly meet with the Arts Council and the Philharmonic and the Ballet. Our nonprofits actually struggle living in silo and inefficiencies of paying 100% on all of their costs internally. And if we combine our efforts together, we can save a lot of money, and then we start rubbing elbows and coming up with all kinds of ideas and projects that will benefit all of us.
Well, the benefit, it really brings a focus to the arts and to the culture, and we want to be able to keep that and really accelerate and elevate the visibility of arts and culture in the area. You have to come up with a space, a location, where you think it might work well. So it's been something that has been worked on over time, and we were finally able to find the right location and the right space for the community agencies.
The Center of Arts and Philanthropy consists of several Riverside organizations geared toward gathering support for humanitarian and cultural aims. Among the groups at the center are the Community Foundation and the Riverside Arts Council, the Riverside County Philharmonic, and the California Riverside Ballet.
We looked at a couple of locations on Main Street, but this one seemed to work best. Needed the minimal tenant improvements were needed to make it accessible and really works well for them.
To be able to bring people into a facility like this is to say this is what the arts and culture mean to this community. There's a commitment here that I think bespeaks the tagline that we have for the city of arts and innovation. In other words, we've put our money where our mouths are. That shows. And when you have major funders that come to this community, this is a great way to show that to them.
The opportunity to collaborate and to work closely with some of the other performing arts organizations and, of course, the Community Foundation, which is also located here, has really been a blessing. For example, we're collaborating right now with the Community Foundation on a potential significant grant that will help to underwrite one of our programs, which is called Adventures in Music.
Well, this year the Ballet and the Philharmonic shared information about some of the advertising for our respective playbills and in other areas. So I think it's fostered better communication between the two groups, especially the Ballet and the Philharmonic, and then the Arts Council, since they're a forum for advertising different arts programs in the city, has helped a lot as well.
This really is showing that we as a city are committed to this, we as a community are committed to this, and really has opportunities to look for collaboration, because funding dollars are growing shorter and shorter every year. And so if we can maximize the opportunities that all of these organizations and other organizations within the city has, it will benefit the community greatly.
Whether it's helping the community or making sure the arts survives in the city of Riverside, the Center of Arts and Philanthropy is here, pulling together to make it work.
Interested in seeing live local events on TV? Now you can. Greg is here to tell us more.
There are a lot of activities in the city of Riverside, in the world of government, business, culture, and sports. The city now has a new tool to tell residents about the changes in their city, a mobile production van, similar to the type used by major news stations. With its live broadcast capabilities, it's able to go anywhere in the city to bring those local events right into your living room on the GTV channel.
The new broadcast van is an asset to the city residents because it allows us to bring new programming to the community live,
such as the Festival of Lights, which we recently shot.
We'll also have the opportunity to go live to, if we have, unfortunately, a disaster event, that we can let our residents know immediately what's going on.
The mobile production van is seen as a key component in the city's emergency services, with its capacity for a live broadcast from the site of a city disaster.
In a critical crisis, a major emergency or disaster, the city's emergency response team, which co-locates right here in the city's Emergency Operations Center, which is the command and control center during emergencies, that group makes a decision on where resources are deployed, including the use and deployment of the GTV van. Having that real-time imagery from the scene, from the emergency, helping us gain situational awareness, will enable us to deploy resources, the most appropriate resource, to the most appropriate incident in the shortest amount of time.
The city is looking for underwriting PBS style.
The city of Riverside recently adopted a new policy, a sponsorship policy, where when we're filming events, whether live or tape delayed, for the community to put on the GTV channel, there's a new opportunity for businesses in the city of Riverside to sponsor that particular event. So we're excited to be able to help promote local business, but also be able to bring new programming to the community.
Now they'll have a local outlet that they can broadcast their advertisements locally for our residents to let them know about their businesses, versus trying to do it in an LA media market that would be cost prohibitive.
The GTV van has already broadcast several high school football games, the UCR-USC basketball match, and of course, the famous Festival of Lights. The broadcast goes out over Charter Channel 3, Verizon Channel 21, and AT&T Channel 99 to city cable subscribers. The broadcasts are archived at watchriverside.com for viewing.
The choices for the city cable viewer just got a lot easier, thanks to the GTV van. Is this my good side? Because I can turn.
RPD has brought back its mounted patrol. Let's follow Bridget and see how it will help the city fight crime. The Riverside Police Department has a fleet of vehicles that patrol the city 24 hours a day. But now they've brought back another time-honored way to fight crime, one that doesn't need a road. Say hello to the new mounted police force, or as I call it, equine justice.
Well, many years ago, over 20 years ago, the City of Riverside Police Department had its a full-time mounted unit, as we had officers on horseback, and that was their regular job. For budgetary reasons, primarily, that was done away with a few years ago. But we recognize that a police presence on horseback is a very important thing, and in particular settings.
I think that's a brilliant idea. The horses are pretty. It gives a nice, peaceful set of mind to the public as they're going through the parks.
Just the majesty of the horse with the rider, it gives good people a calming feeling. They feel safe because of the presence. And people that might want to do something they shouldn't be doing really have a respect for the size of the horse and what that horse can do. But they have, because they're so high up in the air, they have a visual that you just can't get as a patrolman in a car or standing on your feet. And they do, they can move people, but it's also a great public relations. You know, children, everybody love to come up and meet the horses, and it's just like with our dogs. They're a great asset to the city.
I have a good horse. He's very good in public, and I have lived in Riverside pretty much all my life, and I just wanted to give back to the community. I enjoy being out in public with my horse. The kids love the horses, and he's perfect for that.
These volunteers on horseback, along with the sergeant, will be able to address such things as drinking in public in the park and such. In the malls, particularly right now when there's so much congestion in the parking lots, the horse offers a great platform for the volunteers to observe. They can see any crimes in progress. and more importantly, they're a deterrent.
I love it. It's great. We actually had a team several years ago that unfortunately, you know, due to budgetary cuts and stuff like that, had to be cut down. And I was on that, and that was a great team. You know, this time the difference is this is all volunteers. Before it was all swarm people. This time, at least for now, it's going to be all volunteers. Obviously, that way it doesn't cut into budgetary constraints as far as manpower shortages, overtime issues, that sort of thing.
This is the first time in 8 years that police have conducted mounted patrols. The patrols were stopped in 2003 because of the expenses involved. Now, the 15-member staff, with two sworn police officers, is made up of unarmed volunteers and has a unique funding source. The patrols are paid from funds seized from drug dealers, and no taxpayer funds will go into the mounted patrols.
We're really doing what I think is an important public safety function, and we're doing it on the cheap. We're not using taxpayers' money. The volunteers are very generous. You're giving us their time. So I have high hopes for this. I think this will work out real well. The hope is to have a greater police presence with these volunteers all along the park, into downtown on occasion, and into Mount Rubidoux and the other tourist areas in this side of town.
The Riverside Mounted Patrol is now riding high out of the sunset back to the trails of Riverside.
Riverside wants to keep residents informed about all their sustainability efforts and programs. Let's find out what they're doing to help get the word out.
The greening of Riverside is one of the biggest environmental stories, both at the state and even national levels. But what's the use of having an aggressive campaign to promote sustainable practices if no one knows about it? Education is a key component to making sure our green practices continue and branch into new directions. That's why the Riverside Public Utilities decided to ramp up their efforts by redesigning their website, greenriverside.com.
The new Green Riverside website is much easier to navigate through, and it's very simple, very clean design, laid out very nicely, and you could find very quickly the main things that people are looking for.
User friendliness is actually the reason we redeveloped the site. We designed it so we could find whether you wanted to learn about Green Riverside or if you wanted to go green yourself. And kind of provide some of the resources, whether it's through rebate programs or different incentives, all in one shop. And it's actually designed where you can see it on any of your phones or your iPads or anything like that. So if you're on the go, you can also look up how to go sustainable there too.
There's a route for seizing our destiny called Becoming a Green Machine. You can get to that from here too. So anything to do with green or green living or energy conservation, you can find it on the greenriverside.com website. Recently, the city of Riverside went to the National League of Cities Conference in Phoenix, Arizona, and what we talked about, we were invited to come speak about greenriverside.com. The reason the rest of the country thought it was important is because community engagement is very important, especially when it comes to green movements and green activities.
We've won a lot of awards for what we do, and our websites, and it's simply another example of Riverside telling the story and telling the story well.
I think one of the main features is a little bit of the YouTube section that you can look at the back of the bill and you can see what kind of programs are going on. There's also a green map that shows you all the different solar systems in the city, from residential or business or utility funded, all the way to bike trails and train routes that are within the city. So it's a good website to join and visit on a regular basis. You can look up anything from what the city's doing to go green to how you can go green, or look at different links and articles that actually provide resources or information on how you can do it, as well as if you want to look up where a LEED building is or an electric vehicle charging station may be. Those are some of the more unique functions on the green map, as well as ranging from things to information on electric vehicles all the way to our green power report, the radio show that we put together.
It all adds up. Every little bit makes a difference between turning off your sink when you're brushing your teeth or turning down your thermostat. And we'll teach you how to do it and why it matters on greenriverside.com.
In the contact us section, there's an easy way to reach out to us through Green Riverside, but it's also seamlessly integrated into our social media, so you can reach out through Twitter or Facebook or YouTube as well.
We're saving the world one house at a time in Riverside, and that's through greenriverside.com. It's got all the information you need when it comes to rebates, energy efficiencies, or if you want to do an energy audit on your house to make sure that you are using the least amount of energy as possible and giving the most back to our environment. How green are you? Well, this is how green Riverside is, greenriverside.com. You need to check it out. And if you have a smartphone, we got QR codes all over the city that can tap you into greenriverside.com so you can see whatever you need to see and do whatever you need to do when it comes to Riverside Public Utilities.
The Green Riverside website may not save the world, but it's a good step towards saving a small piece of it called Riverside, California.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Kit Sammy. Have a great day.